Listening to North Atlantic Radio with your hosts, Brian Zuda and Matt Rigott.
Welcome back to another podcast of North Atlantic Radio. I'm Brian.
And I'm Matt.
And hopefully you've enjoyed the first couple. We're still working out a few of the kinks here and there, but we've got some great feedback and it's pushed us to keep going and fix a few of the issues.
Yeah, we've made it to episode 3, The Heady Heights.
That's right. And in this week's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about the Worldwide Developer Conference that Apple had just a few days ago. I know this is going to be a little behind the schedule because it takes us time to put these out. Talk a little bit about the Twitter issue. Hopefully we'll have covered this before the issue happens. Talk a little bit about the new iPhone. Talk a little bit about some webhooks.
So on Monday, the 8th of June, Apple had their annual WWDC conference, which is where they sit down with all their developers and chat about all the new things they're going to get to play with. Safari version 4 is now the latest and greatest stable browser from Apple, which brings ACID 3 compliance and faster JavaScript performance, notably, I think. And Safari's got 100% pass rate for ACID 3.
Yeah, I think Opera and a few others have been battling. And they all claim to be the first, but some was the first with the nightly build, some was the first with the beta, and some was the first with the real.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah. So, I mean, from a web developer's perspective, this is great that the browser vendors are battling each other to try and get this compliance, with the exception of Microsoft. But is it Opera, Chrome, and Safari? Has Firefox got good ACID 3 support? We should have checked this out before we started recording, shouldn't we?
It's quite high. I'm not sure it's 100%, but it is up there.
But certainly, I know that in the keynote, Safari 4 was compared against IE 7, I think, maybe 8, and the Internet Explorer browser got 21% pass rate. So, I mean, it's great to see the other browsers at least, you know, way high up there, and hopefully Microsoft will get their act together and come up with the compliance with this.
Yeah, it's also really interesting.
I'm sorry, I'm demanding compliance. I don't even know what the test forces browsers to do, but I'm assuming it's a good thing because the previous ACID tests were.
Yeah, it sets a good benchmark, something to shoot for.
Something that's come up or become more and more interesting recently is the idea of webhooks. Just before we started recording, Brian sent me a link to a website called Watercooler, which introduces something very interesting. Brian, do you want to tell our listeners what you just told me?
Sure. Well, the idea behind this water cooler, it's a really interesting little application in the sense that it only does one thing and does one thing well. And it's kind of back to the whole concept of, you know, the Unix loosely coupled programs. And it allows you to create channels and then subscribe to the channel with a URL back to your site or your application. And then anytime someone posts to that ID on that channel, the water cooler will inform your endpoint URL, which is just a webhook. And its webhooks are kind of, I guess, callback, much like the callback functions. And it's a way to do sort of a push notification to services. So when anyone sends a message to the water cooler then pushes back out to all those endpoints. And then however you deal with those endpoints, either it might then send you an SMS, send you an email, just insert it into a database. That's up to each individual person.
When you say you can create a channel, that's not a webhook specific thing, is it? That's just a water cooler, this particular app's terminology. Really, all you do when you create a channel is you just get a unique ID.
Correct.
And then you use that unique ID to send messages to water cooler, and then water cooler knows who wants to know about those messages by who's subscribed to that unique ID, essentially.
Correct. And that's the beauty of the webhooks. I mean, they've actually been around for quite a long time. I remember 5-6 years ago doing stuff with PayPal, and at the end of a PayPal transaction, it kicks you off to a thank you page. But then in the background, when the payment actually happens and then PayPal runs the credit card, they would ping a URL that you supplied. And along with that, they would give you the product ID number or the transaction ID and the price and if it was okay or if it failed. And that allowed you then to thank the user but not send them the product until the payment came through. And that was probably a really early example of a webhook. And it's just been recently that I think the kind of the term has been coined and people are actually considering these things into their applications a lot more.
Yeah, the webhooks is really just the new name for something that's been around for a while and is finally getting some traction, I think, on this finally more used, or people are finding everyday uses for it rather than just banking, you know, for banking like PayPal and other merchant account services.
It allows for some sort of asynchronous kind of web transactions where you can do one thing now and you can either sit and wait for a half hour, or we'll be like, well, we'll just let you know when it actually finishes and ping. So,
well, let's give us an example.
Well, the PayPal one is an example for banking. I'm trying to think. A lot of image uploading. Maybe you upload an image and it's going to process it and create 20 thumbnails, or some of those browser cam where you give it a URL and it takes 30 pictures on the different browsers. It might take an hour because you're in the queue. Rather than you refreshing the page, it can then just maybe send a ping back to an endpoint saying, here's the ID or here's the link, go check out all of the screenshots.
Yeah.
I think anything that's asynchronous and you would do now but expect a result at a later date, just kind of informing you that it happens. There was some interesting news from Twitter this week. I think people have just started to realize that the volume of action that Twitter is getting is going to eventually be a problem for a lot of local and desktop applications. Every time someone posts a tweet or message to Twitter, they increment the ID by one. So, you know, my last tweet might have been 1,347,000, then 348, 349, on and on and on. And now that Twitter is becoming incredibly popular, they're becoming more and more tweets per day, per hour, per minute. And at some point in time, and they suspect quite soon, next week, I think that the 13th or 15th, they will hit 2 million something, something, something tweets. And that is 2 to the 32nd power. That's the size of an integer in a database. And at that point in time, any of the local applications will roll over, and we're going to have a bit of a Y2K problem. So after you hit 2,733,000, it's going to roll over to just one. So a lot of people are worried that you haven't, or a lot of developers have not properly stored the integers as to big enough, and there's going to be some problems, and we'll see which apps are immune to this and which ones aren't.
Yeah, so we'll see which ones aren't by the updates that get rushed out this week, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I fixed a few little toys that I've been playing with recently to make sure, and it's very easy to fix from, you know, just saying this is an integer to a big integer, and I think it's 2 to the 64th, and it's a lot of it solves the problem.
Well, it solves the problem in the short term, because you then, once the number of Twitter messages gets to 2 to the power of 64, you've got the same problem again.
Yeah, but I think there's like 2 to the 80th molecules in the universe, so it's not a conceivable.
True.
I mean, the same thing.
Simon Willison, I saw this news on Simon Willison's web blog, and he said he had this problem when Flickr had the same thing, where the number of photos hit 2 to the 32. And he had some, I don't know if it was a website or a script or something that had the same problem. And he said ever since that problem occurred, he's always stored external sites' IDs as strings rather than integers to save having any of these problems.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly one solution. It all depends on what, I guess, you're doing with it. If you're just collecting the integers as a unique ID, fair enough. But I mean, if you're trying to do math on it, or you're trying to sort them, or maybe do some other things, it might be problematic. I mean, I just switched it to big int, and it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I would say I'm not sure I've ever come across a need. I'm sure there is one, but I'm not sure I've ever come across a need to sort by ID, because you usually have something, another field more useful than just the ID for sorting, and so time created or time updated or something like that, rather than just sorting on ID. I mean, if it's a unique ID anyway, it's not necessarily numerical in it's not necessarily a numerical data anyway.
No. I mean, this is one of these ever problematic things for computer science. And this was the Y2K problem, when we had two digits to store the year, and when we rolled over from 1999 to 2000, it rolled over from 99 to 00, and a lot of the math got screwed up. the same thing is going to happen, I think, was it 2036, when the number of seconds since the Unix epoch will also hit 2 to the 32nd, and all the computer clocks will roll over and think it's 1970 again. I mean, hopefully within the next 15 to 20 years, we will all move to 64-bit processors where it won't be a problem. But these sort of things constantly are cropping up in computer science, and we never seem to learn from our mistakes. But it comes back to, as well, I mean, premature optimization is the root of all evil. Did Twitter ever sit down and say, we're going to have 2 million posts? I mean, how many people build a web app and think that big from day one? I mean, if you do, you're slightly egotistical, but these are always problems you can fix at a later date as well.
Yeah, but the moral of the story is, if you're storing other sites' IDs in your database, make sure you're confident that you've got a big enough, you're using big enough integers or strings for those IDs.
Exactly. You never trust anyone else's data.
Never trust, don't trust anyone.
Be liberal in what you accept.
And finally for this week, what have we been reading? Brian?
I got a book a couple weeks ago called The Drunkard's Walk. It was recommended by Stephen Hawking himself. It's an absolutely fascinating book. I read it in just a few days. All about probability and sort of, it's a bit mathematical, a bit crazy, you know, messing with all the things that we assume we know about randomness, when in reality we expect random to be more, you know, orderly. I think when the original iPod Shuffle came out, this is the example they use, sometimes it would play the same song twice, because, I mean, that's what random means. Sometimes it's going to happen. And people were like, that's, you know, the thing's broken. So Apple actually had to introduce some structure to randomness to make it seem more random, which it's a very interesting concept. But then the other book I just started is a book by Tony Hawks, not Tony Hawk the Pro Skater, Tony Hawks. It's a book called Round Ireland with a Fridge. And all great books start off as a drunken bet. And he and his friend bet him, Tony Hawks, that he could not hitchhike around the circumference of Ireland with a small refrigerator. And this is the book is just about his travels and how he managed to do it. I'm assuming he did it. I haven't finished the book yet.
How far does he get in so far?
I've just gotten through the first couple chapters, kind of setting it up. And it all stemmed from the fact that he's a bit of a songwriter. And he wrote a song for some of his friends in an Irish competition, music competition. So he flew over to Ireland. He's from England, to help him out and check it out. And some guy picked him up from the airport. And as they were driving to the rehearsal, there was some guy on the side of the road hitchhiking with a fridge. And he kind of looks at the driver just to be like, you know, I'm not imagining this, am I? And he's like, no, he was with a fridge. And the Irish driver didn't seem to, like, this is a normal occurrence. And then, you know, months and months later, the drunken bet happens, and he tells his story, and the other guy doesn't believe it. So he bets him that he can't travel around the circumference of Ireland in, I think, 1 month with a refrigerator.
He doesn't carry around a generator either, does he? So he can keep the fridge on, keep his food cold.
Oh, it is Ireland. It's not the hottest country in the world. And how about yourself?
Not a lot. In fact, you could go as far to say bugger all since we last did the podcast. I haven't read any books. There's been a ton of... As well as being a computer nerd, I'm a bit of a politics nerd. And so over in the UK, there's been a ton of crazy stuff happening with MPs and Parliament and stuff, and it's just been absolutely incredible to keep an eye on. So I've pretty much just been reading news constantly, and I haven't actually got around to picking up a book. Everything seems to be quietening down, so maybe by the next one I'll have actually bothered picking up a book again. But the news has just been too much fun these last few weeks. It's been better than a novel.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, because if anyone listens to this podcast in 2 years, hopefully we can put some context to what's actually been going on.
Yeah, and see who's in power and who's not.
Yeah, or who still is.
Yeah, exactly. We won't make any guesses as to what will be happening in 2 years' time in case we look hideously wrong.
We probably do already.
Yeah, almost certainly we will.
So, well, I think that's it. Thanks for everyone for listening, and we've been getting lots of loads of really interesting feedback. Our email address is hello@northatlanticradio.com. Feel free to email us with any suggestions or ideas or complaints or things you want to hear or see less of. And hopefully we'll try and to work with it.
Yep. Thanks for listening, guys.